Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team. How you doing, Mom?
Good, thanks. It's been a busy month.
Yeah?
I had a big thing happen to me, which was you allowed me to keep one of your children for an entire week on Nantucket without you.
Yep.
And they were able to go to camp and then spend the nights and late afternoons with me, which was really, really fun.
It went really well. He came back almost in one piece.
Yeah, exactly. I kid.
He's fine.
He's a great kid. And it's always really fun to have one-on-one time with one of your grandkids.
Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. It's a bonkers camp. They ride their bikes everywhere. Yeah, and
explore the island. I think he really will have a better knowledge of the island probably than I do.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Nantucket is one of those things. You know, there's so many pleasant pockets. It's very easy to get stuck in your own
right. And
forget that there's all this other cool stuff you could do.
100%.
Cool. So this week we're talking about buying, selling, and investing in Nantucket. Why don't we start by saying what makes the Nantucket real estate market unique compared to other coastal or island communities in Massachusetts? I've got an answer for you.
Value? Price?
Yeah. I'm going to pull it back to the 30,000 foot level and talk a little bit what's going on in like the global economy, right? We've heard of this thing called like the rise of the 1%, which is, I'm going to take away all the politics from that, but there's an economic reality of just the number of people who have more money than they could ever possibly spend in their life has grown exponentially since, let's say, like 1990. And so you have more and more of these people that are competing for these high-end, unique things and have plenty of money to compete for them. For whatever reason, Nantucket has become one of those things. If you are part of this like global elite, having a house on Nantucket is one of the ways that you might spend your money. It's why you get presidents and presidential candidates vacationing there. It's why you have a ton of hedge fund managers placing their money there. It is in that same category as the Hamptons.
What makes it, I think, unique, though, is two things. Mm-hmm. One is it's a little difficult to get there. In other words, you got to get on a boat or you have to fly in.
On a private jet.
Yeah,
you can get a commuter plane over for like $40.
But getting there is not as easy as going from New York City to the Hamptons because you basically get in a car or a train and can get there. The other thing that makes Nantucket, I think, unique compared to some of these other desirable places to summer is the fact that over 50% of the land on Nantucket is tied up in conservation.
That's right.
So when the island has been developed, basically the building has been kind of around the outside of the entire island.
Mm-hmm.
So you have very large sections of the island that are open land.
Yep.
And available for people to enjoy.
That's right.
The third thing is, like you mentioned, if you're into being on the water, either fishing or water skiing or whatever.
It's very accessible.
Very accessible. And a lot of people who have boats really enjoy great boating while they're on Nantucket. And I have a friend that goes out fishing 4 days a week, and that's all they do is fish.
Yeah.
But they're into it. Teddy Bruschi, he's a big fisherman on Nantucket.
Yeah.
So those people that want that experience, whether it's fishing from the beach or fishing from a boat, they're on it all the time. So Nantucket really is unique in that regard.
The access to the water is great. The waters around Nantucket are great. They're very clean. It's a good fishing ground. It's good. There's different kinds of waters. Nantucket Harbor is big enough to do a lot of water activities, but also small enough that it's not going to be as choppy as the open ocean.
Right.
Or even like Buzzards Bay, which separates Nantucket from Cape Cod. Water activity is great. It is just genuinely beautiful. They have done a very good job of maintaining the aesthetic, that New England coastal aesthetic of gray shingles, white trim. Even brand new mansions have that style. It's unbelievable.
Well, the HDC, which is the Historic District Commission, is very active in evaluating whether or not what someone's trying to build is appropriate to the setting.
Yeah.
That can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing.
Oh my gosh, yeah. People who know me from the work that I do in Belmont government know that I'm generally on the end of the spectrum of like, it's your property, keep within reason, but otherwise do what you want. Whereas Nantucket, they're much more on the other end of the spectrum. And I kind of don't disagree with them on that because it is really essential to the place that it looks a certain way. And you can maintain that look in a couple of different ways. And you've seen like the style of houses that have cropped up around Nantucket look very different from the houses that were built in like the 19th century. That's okay. They still generally look like they belong. And that's because of the restrictions they put in.
Well, it's really interesting because you have in town what were once the captain's houses. So they have a little bit different look.
They're painted.
They're painted, or they are three that are brick, or they're, you know, have pillar in front of them. Whereas you go to a village like Sconset, people originally had to take a train to get out to Sconset.
It was, you know,
where they had their sheep. In Sconset, you have like gray shingle cottages. You know, you don't tend to see a brick house because a sea captain would not be living out in Sconset.
That's
right. They would have lived in town.
How about sellers? What should sellers know about timing, pricing, and marketing their home on the island? Because I think this is tricky.
Well, I think there are a couple things that even sellers are having to think about, which they're very actively working on some sort of short-term rental requirement.
Are they still working on that? I know they voted it down.
There's still a lawsuit involved. So it's been very difficult because they haven't been able to come up with a solution, which in essence, it allows someone who owns a property there, whether it's an entity, a business entity, or an individual, to rent their home all throughout the summer to help offset their expenses, or in fact, in the commercial realm,
or just make some money. This is America. Making money is not evil.
But it's become a problem and it's very difficult. So if you rent your house for more than 30 days, they're not subject to a lot of these different rules. But if it goes below that a week or two, it in fact involves they have to pay a tax, which reflects kind of like a hotel tax. You have to let the town know, you have to register, you have to get a number with the state. It's complicated.
That's okay. I mean, that's how short-term rentals work in Massachusetts. We've looked at those in Belmont as well. But like the difference between Belmont and Nantucket is if you are looking to invest in Nantucket, you should be watching this carefully because sorting out how short-term rentals work on Nantucket is existential to investing in Nantucket. Whereas like in Belmont, you don't care because you're probably going to rent it to somebody who wants a year-long lease anyway, right? That's not the kind of investment that most people are going to be making in Nantucket.
And the other thing is there are people that have lived summered there for many, many, many years and need to offset some of the expenses because the islands become much more expensive. The landscaping, the cleaning, getting there, the boat, the whole situation is expensive. So some people don't have a choice because they don't want to give up their family home. So a seller needs to really understand how they intend to use it and what could possibly happen down the road with the town that might impact that. If you're buying for yourself to use during the summer, that's personal and totally makes sense. The other thing that Nantucket investors have to look out for is there are locations on the island where the beach erosion is decreasing the value of homes.
What's the name of the street?
Baxter Road.
Baxter Road, yeah.
Houses that might have once been worth a very large number are either having to be moved because they've lost so much yard, or they face the fact that their yard's going to be eroded and it's going to be a little bit dangerous in front of their house. You have to be aware of your investment, how long you're trying to keep it, how you're going to use it, and how it's going to suit those needs.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back to a question from the audience.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
All right, Mom, because you've done this more than I have, how has your approach evolved when helping clients buy, sell, or invest in Nantucket?
So it's interesting. So the few buyers that I've worked with out there, because it's a secondary home, usually in most cases, the first part of it is they always go in thinking they want something that they end up not buying.
Oh, interesting. More so than in general.
Exactly. So they start out, because it's summer, they're like, I want a lot of bedrooms or I want a view. And then they start looking at options. And then they realize the house that they wanted was good, but there's an easement or there's a view restriction or they go, oh my goodness, I have two kids and maybe I need a second dwelling so that they don't have to be in the main house with me. Or I'm going to have guests all summer, so I want to have the ability to have that happen. So I think people, when they go to look at properties in Nantucket, obviously it's driven by price. It's then driven by objective. And then you just got to look and see what options are out there because your choices may change.
And they're limited. It's like that old saying, buy land, they're not making more of it.
Right.
That is especially true on islands.
It is. And particularly on Nantucket, when over 50% is tied up in conservation.
That's right. And that number's only going up.
Exactly. That's what I would say.
Thanks for that awesome question. If you're a curious cat or like your question answered, you can email us at contact@YatesTeamBoston or slide into our DMs at YatesTeamBoston.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcast. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at YatesTeamBoston or on the web at yatesboston.com.